Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have completed chapter 15, and we'll be discussing chapter 16 now. And so far, in Bhagavad Gita, we have seen in the first six chapters who we are as the limited beings. Then the next six chapters, we have seen what is the nature of the Lord, the one, the Bhagavan which I'm seeking, what's his nature. In the last three chapters, which is chapter 13, 14, and 15, we had been seeing how to differentiate the two and how to go from one to the other, from manhood to godhood. So the first thing we have learned in chapter 13 is how to differentiate between the filled and its knower. Because right now we have a confusion about what is filled and what is knower. I, the knower, think the world is the filled. Chapter 13 says, no, even your body, mind and intellect, which you consider you, is actually part of the field. One that knows this field is the knower. So we have seen the differentiation between the knower and the field. We also come to the conclusion in that chapter, the knower is only one. Whether it knows through you, knows through me, knows through him, knows through her, knower is only one. The field has many expressions, which we call it a prakriti. The variety of manifestations in the prakriti creates individuality. Same knower functioning through these different manifestations creates individuality called ego. Each ego thinks he or she is the knower, knower remaining the one. So now the question arises for a seeker who is sincere is, if the knower is one, why my knowledge is different than your knowledge and your knowledge is different than his knowledge? So in the last chapters, we have seen the qualities of the prakriti, three guna. The prakriti having these three qualities of sattva, rajas and tamas, depending on what ever the permutation combination of these three gunas in that particular individual, as the light shines through that equipment, the result will be according to the nature of that equipment. So these three gunas create various perception of the reality. Reality remaining the same, you see it differently and I see it differently. Something which is quite obvious to you becomes so intriguing for me, and something so intriguing to you becomes so obvious to me. That's because of the nature of our equipment. So to reach that transcendental self, which we have seen in chapter 15, the Purushottama. So we have seen there are three levels of recognizing the all-pervading self. First level is the perishable one, which we all can identify as myself, yourself, this world, my children, my family, your family. We see that as a perishable world. They come into being and will go away. But because we have come to the conclusion that there is only one entity which exists, which is the omnipresent Lord, even these transitory manifestations are also nothing but his self, and therefore we call it a perishable Purusha. Kshara, Brahman. The next we say the Akshara, one who knows these changes are happening in me, in you, in him, in her, is the imperishable self. So I know that my body is decaying, my mind is losing its grip, my intellect is fading, but the one who knows these changes are happening is imperishable. in me. Therefore, that's what we call it, a conditioned, imperishable self. This body is the outward expression which is perishable. One who knows this body is decaying is the imperishable self. But we learned in the last chapter, the Supreme Being transcends the both, the perishable and imperishable. And therefore, he is called Purushottama, Supreme Purusha, Supreme Being. Because the qualifications of perishable and imperishable are invalid at that point. Knowledge is only in reference to ignorance. I can say my knowledge of English language started when I was in fifth standard. Because in reference to that knowledge, I was ignorant before my fifth standard. I was ignorant about my knowledge of English. But if there is no ignorance ever, then knowledge has no meaning. Or if there is no knowledge to be known, the ignorance has no meaning. Ignorance about my own tail has no meaning because I don't have a tail. So when you remove the both perishable and imperishable, what remains is the Supreme Being, the Purushottama. Having understood this intellectually, we have a difficulty grasping these ideas. So now the chapter 16 starts with the qualifications required to purify your mind and intellect to reach the level of clarity so that the knowledge of the Supreme Self shines through automatically. It also talks about what is right now stopping this knowledge for me to recognize. What are the impurities which is veiling this truth from me? My own self is not very evident to me right now. My own self, I'm seeing through my colored glasses of identification with my body, mind, and intellect. I do recognize I exist. I do recognize that no one else have to come and convince me that I exist. But that existence I can only perceive in terms of my body, mind, and intellect. Such as I know the space exists. And I can perceive this space as room space. But only as long as these walls, floor, and ceilings are there, I can perceive a room space. You remove all objects from this world, perception of space is very difficult. So right now I do recognize myself, but in the context of my body, mind, and intellect. I want to transcend this relationship. How do I transcend? I say, to make my internal instrument, antahkarana, mind, intellect, suddhi. Antahkarana, suddhi, purity of mind and intellect. So in Vedanta, the whole mankind is divided into three categories. People who are divine, those who have developed the divine qualities of mind and intellect, called devas. Those are called asuras, who have demonic qualities which brings you down to this world and binds you to this world. And then there are completely ignorant, completely indifferent about what is good and bad, called rakshasas. And the goal of Bhagavad Gita is to help everyone. So goal of Bhagavad Gita is just like our president said, that I'm not only the president of the 51% who voted for me. I'm also a president of the 49% who did not vote for me. I'm a president of 100% of Americans. My goal as a president is to help each and every American, whether who voted for me or not. So Bhagavad Gita is like that. See, normally we say, Bhagwan will only help you if you pray to him. Bhagwan will only do if you do good things. Bhagwan said, no, my goal is to help all of you. Whether you are a divine, you are asuric, demonic, or you are rakshasi, completely ignorant. Now, completely ignorant ones, there is no help readily available. they have to go through the adversity of nature to destroy this mold in which their mind and intellect is right now imprisoned, and to break that mold so they can get out of that. So that's why we say some criminal, we can understand why they did this, but then this law of the society or the law of the nature or law of some divine force will break their mold. For them, there is no advice given in this chapter. But the rest of us either fall into demonic or divine qualities. This chapter gives us guidance. So the purpose of this chapter is the topics we have already discussed before. We have indication in chapter 7 and chapter 9 about people who have the knowledge will understand this, but people with their deluded intellect will not understand that. Now we have a chance to elaborate on them and see what are the qualities I can introspect in myself, which I need to cultivate more, and one which I need to negate. So the chapter starts with Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhagavan directly comes out and gives this knowledge without any introduction to it. Abhayam sattva sansuddhihi jnana yoga vyavasthitihi danam damascha yagnascha swadhyayah tapah arjavam. We have seen this in first three verses, that 26 divine qualities are enumerated. For you and I to use it as the litmus test. How many of these I have? Now, most of us right away say, well, these are for saintly people, not for me. However, if you carefully look at it, all of these are in you. You practice all 26 of them in your daily life at some level. But now it is our turn to look at these qualities and what we have latently as our ability to cultivate it so it becomes my own personality. So the first time we say abhayam, fearlessness. Now we know where the fear comes from, out of ignorance. When I am not comfortable about the situation, I'm fearful. One time I took Chamberlain exit somehow. I thought I'm going towards VCU, I ended up on the other side. And as I drove further, I started getting more and more nervous about it. Well, how can I take a shortcut? Why? I had never been to that neighborhood ever before. Getting lost in West End is no big deal. I get lost even in West End sometimes. Try to take a shortcut and then can't find a way out of that neighborhood. But I'm comfortable because I know this neighborhood. Other side of Chamberlain, even I did not know. So I was fearful. Fear comes from ignorance. Therefore, when someone who doesn't look like me, doesn't talk like me, does not dress like me, I'm fearful of him. So Bhagavan says, abhayam. The first quality to be developed is abhayam. And abhayam comes from that basic understanding that no matter what the outward expression of the thing or being is, it is Lord's expression. So how far that expression is from me, as far as I am from my own self, there is nothing to fear in this world. So Bhagavan said, abhayam is the first quality a seeker develops. We have heard that Alexander going back and he wanted to take saint who was and said, well, you come with me, or are you not afraid of me, that I can kill you? You can't take anything from me and you can't do anything to me. So I'm not afraid of you, no matter who you are. He had nothing to lose. If I have no fear of losing anything, nobody can make me afraid of him or her. So Bhagavan said, abhayam. The first quality a seeker develops is the abhayam. That comes naturally to me if I have a purity of my mind and intellect. Sattva sansuddhihi, purity of heart. As we had heard before, these qualities are obviously linked to each other. One cannot be developed without others being developed. Without the purity of heart, the fearlessness does not come. If I don't have purity of heart, I'll be always fearful of others. They will take advantage of me. People are going to walk over me. If I don't behave this way, they will misunderstand me. All this fear, actually, my own inbuilt fear of how incomplete I am. More I know I'm incomplete, more fearful I would be. And more fearful I would be, more arrogant I will become. Therefore, we see that the people who have achieved a lot, they become more and more humble. One of my friends had an encounter with Amitabh Bachchan. A whole group of the actors were stranded on New Jersey airport. It was Amitabh Bachchan was one of them. And he was telling me, now this is obviously what I heard from him. He said, all these guys are jumping up and down. Well, why we are... He said, Bachchan was peacefully sitting on one side. They were saying, well, put me in a 5-star hotel and all that. Bachchan was ended up in my friend's motel in a comfort suites. And he said he was so happy and peaceful. He said, I went to him and said, Bachchan saab, kya khaoge? What should I order for you? He said, yeah, chodo Patel saab, ghar ka koi Gujarati khana khila. Get some food from your home, Gujarati food. And he obviously was very happy with that comfort suites, happy with order the Patel brought. So he was so impressed that such a big star was so humble. But because he's so comfortable in his achievement, that he does not have to put up a show that I'm a superstar. The people who are not there has to put up a show that they are superstars. So Bhagavan said, Abhayam comes from the purity of heart. Sattva sansuddhihi, purity of heart. What is purity of heart? That which I think, I say, and what I say, I do. And there is a story about Mahatma Gandhi. That when Gandhiji went to the round table conference in 1942 or after that, and Mahadev Bhai, his secretary, obviously was with him, so the news people asked, the reporters asking Mahadev Bhai, that Gandhi must be preparing for this conference for a long time because this is so important for India that he has to make a case for its freedom here in this round table conference. Mahadev Bhai said he never prepares for anything. That's because he never says anything which he does not believe. And he never does anything which he doesn't say. He never has to put up an act. What he says comes from purity of his heart. He doesn't put out a show by saying, well, I love all the Britishers even though I hate the British rule. But that's exactly what he believed. Next virtue, sattva sansuddhi, purity of heart. Jnana yoga vivasthiti, steadfastness in knowledge. Unless I believe that this is the path of my perfection, I will not be able to follow. So many times I have decided that regular exercise is the way for my health. But I don't have this Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. So I try for a few months and then drop out for more few months. Then start again for a few months and drop out in more few months, you know. And it keeps on coming and going. That's because I feel pretty comfortable when I'm not exercising. I say, I don't know. People say, Nil, how do you feel? I feel the same, actually tired sometimes because I exercise. Because my true nature is not to exercise, is my real nature. This is superimposed on me to exercise. Since my childhood, I've never been interested in any physical sport or anything physical. All I liked is take the book and read or do something which I don't know, move around much. Watching movies, singing, those things I liked. So that's my true nature. But then now say, no, you have to jog every day and do all that. I do it because people tell me to. Not my real nature. So there is no Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, steadfastness in the knowledge. Once you get convinced that this is the path of perfection, you stick to it and do your development accordingly. Then Danam, charity. I want to develop fearlessness, therefore I need a purity of heart. Purity of heart only comes when I am established in my knowledge. What I think, I believe in it, and therefore I'm saying that, and therefore I'm acting in that way. Therefore we hear sometimes people say, you know, I heard him. It seems like it comes from his heart. What it means is he's convincing because he believes in it. Sometimes people come and say, you know, Neil, Swamiji said that. And I say, but why do you say Swamiji? We had been discussing this thing in our class all the time. Now suddenly Swamiji comes once a year. And you say, Swamiji says that. He says, yeah, but I don't know. I never understood that in the class. But Swamiji said I understood it. there is a difference between Neil saying the same thing and Swami Chinmayananda saying the same thing. Because it comes from his realization of the truth that you are hearing. Whereas me reading the book and telling you. So Bhagwan said, after that comes danam, charity. This charity is not to help others. We typically consider charity as helping others. People, please help the needy. If you have something, please see what the other people who don't have, also you can help out. The idea is completely contrary to whatever scriptures want you to understand. Dana is not for them. Dana is for you. I can only give up $100 gladly in charity when I know I have $1 million in the bank account. Their giving $100 is really, well, I really feel it's worthwhile, write a check. That's the sense of abundance I have. A sense of abundance which makes me give away that thing. It should be for me to get rid of this sense of abundance so that I'm not burdened by all this upadhi that I have, all the things which I have accumulated. So to avoid this tendency for hoarding and accumulating, including the tendencies I have, I need to give away. This giving away is for me. The charity is for my own betterment, not to help others. By the way, it helps others is a byproduct of my act. It is not the main cause I am doing charity. My main cause I am doing charity is my self-improvement, to get rid of this tendency of hoarding. We were cleaning up my office and we literally had over 1 ton of paper we have recycled, almost about 1.5 ton of paper we have recycled in the last 2 weeks because we have given away the space between here and NBJ. Now, why were we keeping all this? Well, we may need it. So, same drawing, we have like 5 sets of this year and 10 sets of this year. And why do we have 10 sets? Because first 5 we printed, we can find it, let's print the next 5. This sense of hoarding, we can't throw this thing. All the boxes all over the place in our houses. Something which we bought in 1982, and the stuff is gone. But the box is still there. Or even with the TV which we have already donated, but the remote control is left there. Because we forget. Does that happen to you? I find remote controls which I don't have the equipment for. Because I can't throw away. How can I throw away this nicely designed remote control? That sense of hoarding and sense of I need to keep accumulating so that I get a sense of abundance is need to get away. I return nothing and still I will have a sense of abundance. So, danam is for my own self-improvement. Dama cha yagnascha. Dama is the discipline at the physical level. Now, there are obvious controversies whether dama is good or not. Should I be torturing myself by doing all kinds of, you know, self-inflicting, you know, practices? The answer is clearly no. Even Bhagavan Buddha, after he went through all of that, says moderation. Putting too much pressure on your body, mind and intellect is not going to help you. You have to be friend with them. However, overindulgence has to be controlled. So all this fasting we have in our culture, that somebody says, I'm doing a Somvar, Mangalvar, Sanivar, that's for self-disciplining myself. That particular day, even the food is here, I will not be eating or I'll be disciplining. So this dhamma, the control at the physical level, is to self-discipline the senses. So it frees my mind to do other things. Dhammaha yagnascha, sacrifice. Again, the same concept as the charity. Sacrifice is something which I give away, thinking this is not for me. So when you do the yagna at the temple, havan, what is the common line in that? idam na mama. This is not for me. This is not for me. This is not mine. This is not mine. This is not mine. Therefore, you sacrifice. So at some point, I should be able to do yajna. This is not mine, this body. This is not mine, my mind. This is not mine, my intellect is also not mine. Svadhyayaha, commonly described as the reading the scriptures. You can say, well, I do the chanting of this Hanuman Chalisa 20 times. Without even thinking about what the Hanuman Chalisa says. Svadhyaya means swa-adhyaya, introspection of myself. Constantly looking into myself, whether I am on a right path or not, is swadhyaya. Tapa, again, tapa is austerities. Very similar to the dhamma. I just saw on a TV, somebody putting head into the sand. I don't know where I saw it, but I did see it. Why would you do something like that? However, for one who is doing it, it is important. This tapas is the austerities to control your senses, where I can get freed from the bondage of these senses. Constantly there is a pull of these five senses on me. I want to see something nice, I want to hear something nice, I want to do something nice. All these things are putting pressure on me, and therefore I can't think of anything. See, I do that all the time. At night I want to read. Because I have all these magazines and which I want to read. I also want to watch TV in the same time. And read and watch TV is difficult. And then I want to also hear what they say on the TV. So this desire to see, read, and desire to watch TV is creating conflict with me all the time. So I read and I watch TV. And then I rewind the thing back. Because I didn't pay attention, so I want to rewind this thing back. If I can get rid of one of the desire, either to read or to watch TV, I'll be fine. But I say, I have not enough time, so let me read at the same time I can finish that show. These senses which are putting burden on my mind to do things, if I can get rid of it, I'll be free. Arjavam is straightforwardness. Again, we talked about Mahatma Gandhi, why he didn't have to prepare straightforwardness. I don't want to put out a show so that people can find out what Neil is all about. I have to put out a show. I'm nice. I don't get angry. That show puts so much pressure on you because you're trying to hide things which you don't want people to find out. But your straightforwardness and say, this is who I am. To show them that they are human, they have their weaknesses, their own likes and dislikes. Ahinsa, satyam, akrodaha, tyagaha, santihi, apaishanam, daya, bhutesu, aloruptvam, mardavam, hrirachapalam. Okay? Ahinsa, everyone knows what that is. Non-violence at the mental level as well as physical level. Unless I have it at the mental level, I can't control the physical level. So the non-injury, my desire not to hurt anybody with my speech or my thoughts or my actions. Satyam, truth. We hear the expression, what you see, what you get. Well, with me, you don't worry about it. I think Joe Biden said that. What you see is what you get. Satyam, akrodaha, non-anger. And Bhagavan says, non-anger only comes if there is love. If there is love, there is no anger. Mind that little one? Even yesterday in bhajans, she didn't want me. She wants to come and sit with me while I'm singing bhajan. But am I getting angry? Now, other than that, if somebody else had been disturbing while I'm singing bhajan, I'll be very upset, you know. But don't you see? I mean, you know. But at that one, I actually feel more okay. You know. Why? There's a love there, which stops me from getting angry. Akrodaha is the manifestation of a love in your heart. So, akrodaha. Tyagaha. Again, the tyaga, same as dhanam or tapas, is that I want to get rid of the things which are binding me to this world, is tyagaha. Apaishanam. It says absence of crookedness, crookedness in your language. Satyam vada, tell the truth. When the next line says, priyam vada, tell the truth that is pleasing to the ears of the listener. So in Gujarati there is a keva say, kana ne kano kahe, kano ave se, kano kadwa lage ven, dheere reine puchiye, shene khoya nen. Okay, I'll translate it from non-Gujarati. Okay, you say, for one-eyed, if you say you're one-eyed, he will get angry. Okay, but you very gently ask, how did you lose your eye? He will be very happy to explain. Thanks for asking. Same thing, but put it in a different way. It is acceptable. Satyam vada, priyam vada. So, apaishanam. Daya bhuteshu. Bhuteshu daya. Compassion for the beings. Now, nothing new here, but it makes us think, do we really have that? No matter how the smallest creature is, if I don't have compassion for it, then obviously there is something I am lacking. Aloluptvam, lack of lust, basically. Mardavam, gentleness. Hri is modesty. Gentleness. Deal with everything gently. Modesty. We all know about it. Absence of fickleness. Achapalam. It basically says, conserve your energy for the things which are important to you. How some people can achieve things in their lifetime which normally we think cannot be achieved. And the secret is in conserving the energy for what you really want to do. The movie Guru, those of you who are Indian movie fan, it's about Dhirubhai Ambani, the guy who made this Reliance such a big business in the world. In the movie, there is a scene in the end, he was prosecuted for something, you know, and he was very sick at the time. He doesn't say anything in the end. He says, look, I'm a banya. I'm a businessman, I'm a banya. So I was saving my breath for saying what is important. Then he gives his own version of whatever the argument he wants to make. And everybody kind of claps. And he said, save your energy. All throughout he doesn't say anything. People say, you want to say something? He said, no. Because he said, I want to save my energy for when it is very important for me to say. That conservation of energy is the key. Achapalam is conserving the energy for what is important. Tejah kshama drutihi saucham adroho na atimanita. Tejah, brilliance. Now brilliance is something which in this case we cannot really describe, but we all feel it. When we meet somebody, we can say, well, he has a brightness in his eyes and brightness about him. It's the intellect and your mind which is pure. It shows its own brilliance through your behavior and through your actions. So that of your mind and intellect. Kshamaha, forgiveness. Now forgiveness is not something forcefully I say, well, I forgive you. Forgiveness again comes from love. I love something. Any time I wear something, I find some spots on my clothes. You know how where they come from. My little one, every time I go home, will just, you know, grab. I sometimes wear my suit and go to the office and say, oh God, I have all these patches on it. Well, fine. No problem. Why? Because I remember where they come from. That love gives you forgiveness, you know. So forgiveness, shama, you know. Druti. Now, druti is something I found in my life, the most important ingredient for success. Forbearance. And anytime Meena something says, so what are we going to do about it? It's all we are going to do is forbear. We are going to suffer through it. Druti is to hang on to your goal or your belief or your work, no matter how adverse the situation looks or how difficult the task may look, but you hang on to it. Persistence. There was a young couple who was asking advice about the job, and I said, only thing is persistence. Hang on to what you believe and you will get it. Druti. Saucham, cleanliness, adroha, na atimanita. Now Saucham, Swamiji puts a big emphasis on actually external purity. Because we have misunderstood and said, oh, internal purity Gita talks about. So, because we do have songs saying, Man mela aur tan ko dhoye, my mind is unclean, but I'm washing my body. That means we are degrading washing body. Washing mind is more important. It is more important. It does not come before you wash your body. External purity is actually a reflection of your mental purity. How your office looks tells people how you work. You know, boy, you know, we went to his office, it was such a mess. I don't know whether those guys can do our project. That is a reflection of what's your internal purity. So external cleanliness or purity is as important. We have a tendency to get used to whatever the dirty or unconducive situation is. If you deny that, then only you can keep clean. So Bhagavan said, saucham adroha, non-hatredness. Again, all comes from your love in your heart. Na atimanita. We need to have self-respect so that you can function in this world. But having a greater opinion about myself is arrogance. And arrogance is never being appreciated. When you come across someone, if he's arrogant, you're not going to like him. Arrogance is atimanita. I have a much greater opinion about myself than who I am. No, atimanita. Bhavanti sampadam devim abhijatasya bharata. These are the qualities of divine people, O Bharata. Other way to put it is, what is your estate planning? Estate is what I have accumulated. And then say, this is my estate, I'm going to leave behind. Bhagavan said, all these qualities are my estate. And if I have a divine estate, then I'll be the rich person. With that, we'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.